Okay, so we're going to be in Galatians 5, and it might seem like kind of a strange place to start at something, but this is, I was led this way, and I started studying on it, and so it just seemed to go. The Lord wanted me to know, probably, a reminder maybe, I don't know, because I know Gordon went through this, and I remember the studying it, but... So the Holy Spirit brought me this week concerning how important it is for us to stand steadfast in the profession or the justification of our faith, in the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit, and in our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's very important that we stay and stand steadfast. Amen. It is very important. And if you think that it's okay, you've already, you know, been in the meeting a long time, maybe your whole life, but let me tell you, you can miss a step, and the world's waiting, and of course Satan is waiting to cause you to slip. So it's very important to stay in fellowship with our Lord. And now you know this epistle, right? So we know that Paul wrote into the Galatians. We know that they were in idolatry and they were brought out of that. But Paul was so marveled at how soon they were removed from the grace of Christ unto another gospel, or to pervert the gospel of Christ by false teachings. And I know he was very concerned, because throughout this Galatians, the book of Galatians, it says he reminds them over and over of, he's just so admonished. He's so, I mean, I think he's just so sad because they have left and turned back to the law. And so I'm not saying this to say they were bad or anything, but it can happen to a lot of people, and it happens to a lot of believers too. Not saying that they go back to the law, but they just stop. And sometimes they start listening to other things. And there's a lot of legal churches out there, and now there's a lot of Muslim teachings and so forth. So on this, in this country now, that's just kind of like that virus that's just running free. So first of all, I want us to go back to Galatians 1, because it kind of sets the foundation of this. And I want to start in verse 1. We'll read through 7. We're going to go all the way down to 12, but we're going to skip some here and there. So Galatians 1, and we're starting 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. He says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is so gracious here, as he's gonna kind of let them have it a little bit, and he really is trying to reach their hearts again. He said, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Verse 9, We said before, so I say now again. Paul always says it, and he reiterates, because it's important to be emphatical about what this means. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than you have received, let him be accursed. So he kind of says it twice, because he wants them to know where they're standing right now. They're not in a good place. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. See how he goes back and forth to make sure. He's saying the same thing, but he's kind of just getting a little deeper into it, and he goes back and lets them know this is why. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. We know that's true, right? By the revelation of Jesus Christ as he met him on the road to Damascus. For you have heard my conversion, For you have heard my conversation in time past in Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And I, And profited in Jews' religion above many equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. I read too far, so we're going to stop there. So, let me go back to five. I read a little bit beyond where I wanted to go, so I'm sorry about that. Chapter 5, verse 1, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So, we see stand fast, and then there's a therefore. So we know therefore is, I can't think of words tonight. We want to go back because it represents, Anyway, you know what I mean. So verse 28. Now we brethren, as Isaac was, the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. And so now we're going to take a little trip back to Genesis. Genesis, where's my thing? 21. I don't know if I'm better without the light or with the light. 21. Genesis 21. And the page to turn. 21, 9, and 10. And I'm not going to read all about this. This is about the birth of Isaac and so forth. And Sarah and Abraham and everything's going on here. So he says, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman should not be the heir with my son, even with Isaac. And it goes on to say this was grievous in Abraham's sight. It really bothered him. But that's the way it was. You can't be bond and have free together. It just doesn't mix, I don't think. So you need to. Jesus made us free. And this was all back before, of course, before Jesus even came around. But God was letting them know that this was not to be, that he had a certain way things were supposed to be, and that's the way it is. I want to go to Job. Just see if we can stop by Job here for a minute. I had a whole bunch of these. I don't know how many. Job 11 is where we're going, please. Job 11 and 14 and 15. I hadn't even got there yet, June. That's all right. So we're reading in Job 11, 14 and 15. It says in 13, if thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thy hands toward him, if iniquity be in thy hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles or thy tents. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot, thou shalt be steadfast and shall not fear. So it's been said quite a bit, repentance and forgiveness, stand steadfast in the Lord. And we want to go to Job 22, down here a little ways. Job 22, Job 22, and we're going to read 23. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. So it says, my heading on my Bible says, delight in the Almighty. And that's really, you know, we all delight in the Almighty. We delight in our God, our Father. We delight in Lord Jesus Christ. We delight in what he's provided and what he's shown us all through the Bible of what he wants. He has a perfect way of salvation for us. But he wants us to stand steadfast. Do not go away from this. It's very important that you stay in the Word of God. I know that I will say this in passing. I didn't always stay with our Lord, and I walked different paths for a while. And I will say this, even though, especially when I was overseas in the war for almost 2 years, I did not fail to call upon the Lord every day. And I didn't ask him to do everything for me. I just asked him to, I thanked him for being able to wake up and see another day and to actually look around and see what the Lord's provided even in that place. Because it was beautiful, really. And I asked him just to protect everybody in my squad and in our platoon, of course, in our company. And then when at night, I thanked him for what he had done that day. But I also told the Lord that if it was to be the purpose for me to die over there, that I wanted to be ready because I was already saved. But I wasn't walking with the Lord rightly. So sometimes in between times, I just strayed away. And so it's easy to do. If you don't stand steadfast with the Lord and in the Word, you will stray. I mean, it's just as simple as that. You will. It's like going to church. If you don't go to church every Sunday and you start missing one and you miss another one, miss another, pretty soon you just don't go at all. And that's just the way the old nature is. And we don't want to do that. So it's very important to just stay in the Word, stay with the Lord. He's provided so much. Let's see what I'm doing here in the first verse. Okay, we stopped in the first part, but stand there fast, therefore, in the liberty where Christ has made us free, and be not entangled with the yoke of bondage. Okay, so I want to read one thing in 1 Corinthians 15:58, and you all know this. This talks about the resurrection body explained. It also talks about when this corruption shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then be brought to pass, saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And then we go on down through that. Sting of death is sin, sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord or empty in the Lord. He is so gracious to us that even when we slip, he's there to pick us up. And it's wonderful that he does these things for us. And I want to go to about being free, and you all know this too, in John 8. Jesus is talking here, and he talks about being free. John 8, 32 through 36. Okay, here we go. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you are ye my disciples indeed? And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, and we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever or forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. He already knew what they were saying. He knew what they were going to say before. But the truth shall make you free. If they'd have known the truth, they would have been free already. And this is really about being free and so forth. It's so a great admonition for all of us. Realize how free we are. So let's go on down, read 2. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by law, ye are fallen from grace. So they had come and he had turned them around. There were believers here that understood the grace message, but they fell. They fell from grace, went back to the law and to the legal thing. So it says, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. So faith, when I read this, I was thinking faith, of course, is the bottom. Equation, what is the thing? Huh?
Denominator.
Yeah, the common denominator. And so faith is the key to everything in here. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Now he's starting to ask them about this. You did run well. What happened? He says, 8, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. 9 and 11, leaveneth the whole lump. He said, I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. He says in verse 11, I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Or if I preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? So I wondered when he was asking them this if they were a little puzzled here. Because he basically what he's telling them, if I preach circumcision, that was the way, which is not, why do I yet suffer persecution? I have not been freed from any of this. And he says that the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And so, I want to go back to Romans. And verses 2 through 5, what I read, I want to actually go to Acts 15:1. Just a little statement here, Paul says. And a certain man which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. So here we go. There's somebody come along and said, hey, you know, you got to be circumcised, to be saved. And that is really, that's really wrong. And then in Romans 3, oh, yeah, I know it was, but it's still, he's telling them, because some of them went back to that. They went back from the way that he was teaching them when he first went there. And he's telling them again that, you know, you left it. You walked away from it. You let somebody come in and lead you astray back into the old way of bondage. Bondage of the law. He says in Romans 3:24. Oh, for 23, he said, well, let's go to 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And we could go on and on. And I mean, you could just read all the Romans and get a pretty good deal what's going on. In Romans 5:15, it says this. 14, it says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, says Christ, but not as the offense, so also as the free gift. For if through the offense of one, which is Adam, many be dead, much more the grace of God, and by the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So Jesus Christ, once for all, that's all it took was one for Jesus to go to the cross. He died once for us. And it's really important to me. Let's see. Man, we just go on doing Romans 8:4-5. These are just some of the things I wrote down. It just kind of goes through this thing. And Romans 8:4-5 says, let's go back to 3. For what the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I'm going to turn to Ephesians 2. Now, I tell you, when I was reading all this, I had a bunch of scriptures, and a lot of my scriptures were going into Ephesians and Philippians and Thessalonians and Timothy and Titus and so forth and so on. But I just chose out ones that seem to be good. And this is going to be closing in Ephesians 2 and 4 through 8. Let's see, 4 through 8. But God, 3. Among who also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by the nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us, made us alive together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heaven, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And he says that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us for Christ Jesus. And then he says again, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And it goes on to tell you that men want to boast in themselves anyway. And I just say one thing about, I want to go back to Galatians 5. And one more thing to say. I kind of went over it. But in Galatians 5:9, this is why I was thinking about this, how easy it is. It only takes a little bit, right? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So one little bit of legality, one little bit of flesh, it can ruin so much. It's important that we stay in the Word of God daily, in constant prayer, Now, you know you're not going to pray all day long and all night, but you've got to be in prayer with our Lord. That's our fellowship. That's what we should do every day and every night we can. Ask for the leading of the Holy Spirit, lest you slip, just as these ones in Galatia. And it's very important. We're going to go on with this a little further and get into some other stuff, but I was thinking that just the thing that stuck out in me that was important was stand fast, therefore in the liberty that Christ has provided. And if you think you're okay, I hope you're okay, but it's easy to slip. I don't care who you are. And so for me, I liked it because I already know I have slipped a lot in my life. But I'm thankful for the Lord that he forgives us. And I know that David, how many times he made certain errors, made some bad ones, and even sent a man to war to be killed so he could have his wife and the loss of his child and so forth that he was paid. But the thing about it is that David knew when he made a mistake that it was, of course, Nathan had to tell him at that time, but he knew what he'd do. He turned to the Lord. He poured his heart out to the Lord. And that's really what you have to do. And Paul goes on to say I think it's in Romans, that shall we sin? God forbid. Just because God's going to forgive you and you go to because of God's grace, doesn't mean you can just walk around and sin all you want and just say, well, God, please forgive me, and then go on the next day and sin again and sin again and sin again and sin again. Because I don't know what all that means, but I know that he can eventually end your life. So best thing to do is be in the Lord. So that's what I have. I'm going to study some more, and I've already got some other ideas that the Holy Spirit give me, but he might change me and take me somewhere else. I don't know, but I felt led to stay in Galatians. And I really didn't want to go in the whole thing about what happened there, but you get the idea that they turned back to the law. So